show with Aaron. Show with Aaron. Show.
Sometimes it's good to just yell about football. What are you doing? Don't do this to me, Harry. The Ohio State. It's Ohio State. What do you mean the? It's a poison. I almost stroked out and died over it. I'm glad to be at the party. I'm mad we're this late. You ain't a captain of nothing but a sinking ship. That helps the defense. Without them even doing a damn thing. Doing a damn thing. Get a call in line. 312-988-15. You tell Johnny all you've heard and seen.
Oh boy, we got snow on the ground. Unfortunately, that's right. We got snow on the ground. Spring football, sure. Spring training, sure. Spring weather, not so much. Welcome in, everybody. Good to have you here. Look at the morning crew. Nikki Dean, Rudy's in the house. Brian, Larry, what's going on from Texas? Philly, the Philly special. What's going on? Nikki Dean loves to be heard and seen. I see a couple people calling in. I'll get to you early, let you get your thoughts out if you're on a hold and go on with your day. Yeah, always Irish senior tailgate weather. It was for the blue and gold game last year, that's for sure. I said it before, I'll say it again. Winter, spring, summer, and fall, that day we had it all, okay? If you're old enough to remember James Taylor and who that is, then that'll make sense to you. So we got a few things to go over today. It's really interesting. I bring this up a lot. I bring up how a lot of times I have these bullet points for where I think this is at. And then I come in here to set up in the morning, and then I look at the chats, and it lines up with a lot of this stuff I'm preparing to talk about. Sometimes not even stuff I tease in the note, in the preview for it, the promo for it. You guys are all over a couple of things again, especially with the quarterback dynamic. You're on that early. Ooh, it's a beautiful thing. So we got some things to get into. Let's have a good, it might be a shorter show today. I got stuff to get ready for, pack things to do, get the kid to school, whatever. And then we'll go live tonight. So that's going to happen. 8 o'clock tonight, we're going to go live. If Pat could still join me, he's welcome to join me. If not, I'll do it anyways. I want to be able to do one more of those big shows before I'm gone for a week. And I don't know if I'll be able to go live or what day. Like I have to figure all that out. So we'll have to see. Yeah, might be shorter. I got some things I got to take care of today, and I'm out of my routine here, packing to leave. So, Dr. John, snow's gone here for now. Golf course opens April 1st. There you go. It's a beautiful thing. So, let's get into this. We'll go over a couple of these notes. Some of the stuff you guys have brought up is on my mind. And let's get into it. So obviously, thank you for being here. You can find the program on YouTube. Do it. Subscribe if you haven't yet. Appreciate it very much. Give the video a thumbs up. That helps Yanni Boy out as well. Notifications on that way you're alerted every time a new episode drops. I know you don't want to miss it. Twitter, search bar, Always Irish, or at Always Irish Inc. Emails, alwaysirishnd at gmail.com. Audio only anywhere you want it. You can get it. If you don't want to see my face, I certainly don't blame you. Call in lines 312-988-15. Dialed up. Tell Johnny all you've heard and seen. Instagram, Facebook, Always Irish Inc. USA Today, Irish Wire. Read all about it. Patreon.com/AlwaysIrish. Former captain Mike Goolsby, leading tackler, by the way, and myself, breaking it all down. Can't go wrong with that. Had a good little meeting with the guys from the ND Subway alumni group yesterday, putting together some plans for maybe some tailgates. We got some stuff cooking. Be sure to check these guys out. Get yourself a Lewski. Get yourself some shirts. Get a hoodie. You all know how important that Subway alumni group is to Notre Dame. This is a way to honor them. Get over there. Good people. Carberry, what's going on? What is going on? All right, let me do a couple of these chats and then I'll give it to the callers, and then I'll come back to what I kind of wanted to go over here. So let's get caught up here. A&M returns well past 10-plus sacks out of their D-line, led by the D-tackle Turner. Go three it out with no deep shots the first drive, and ND blows the season week one. I'm laughing because that no deep shots and three and out right away is like, man, that hits Notre Dame people so hard the last 25 years. You've just seen it be so boring and so mundane and so predictable and not able to really threaten a defense. And it's just like lame and you know what's coming and then we're punting. Like, so I totally get that. Here's my question though. Maybe I'm dreaming this. I don't think I am, but maybe I'm dreaming this. Did I not just blow a gasket a few days ago taking crap about my concern over the A&M moment and me yelling about like, it isn't like I'm scared. They're not Georgia's roster, but it's like the totality of the moment that I'm concerned about Notre Dame excelling in. And then I took all this crap for building up Texas A&M bigger than they should be. And now we're in here talking about how dangerous Texas A&M is. Did I miss something? Nothing's easy around here. Eric, my lawyer in Michigan. Can Leonard even throw deep? The guy is a runner with just okay throwing abilities. Here's my thought on that. I think he has kind of a big arm, but I don't think he's that accurate. I think I did the stats. It was what, 58, 56% completion last year, something like that. Like, I think he can push the ball, but I just think it isn't always the most accurate. But he has the arm to stretch the field a little more, but it isn't the most accurate. That's my read on it coming into spring. I mean, let me know if you have a different opinion on that. So, I don't know. This is why, then why is Leonard is here? He's just okay, and Freeman gave him a bunch of money. Shamar Turner may break. I hope that doesn't happen. I hope he doesn't get rolled up on against them the way we rolled up on him that caused an injury concern anyways. Bro, only Notre Dame could accidentally hurt a guy's ankle, like in the beginning of the year, kind of. And then like it's like a nagging injury thing all year. And then it becomes our problem to worry about. And then we play the old coach week one. Only Notre Dame could have all these weird factors where like we're the ones who caused that injury. Now we're saying he can't get hurt because of an injury we caused. And then we're facing his old coach right away out of the gate that knows everything he does, good and bad. It's a wild dynamic, but Notre Dame finds themselves in some weird positions. I just hope Leonard is Josh Allen, not Ian Book. At some point this season, probably Florida State and USC on the road, Leonard will have to deliver, can he? Isn't that the part of this that's missing? Like that's always my argument, is that's the part that's missing, is we have not had a quarterback for a long time that can put the team on their back against the best teams we play and be the leader that is the reason Notre Dame wins the game. Like, tough game, hard fought game, you need a couple big plays. And like, we have not had that quarterback capable of putting the team on his back and making those few extra plays to get that first down or score enough to win one of these big game moments. Notre Dame's been searching for that for a while. Spare me. Oh, remember when Ian Book ran it in against Virginia Tech at home and in the last minute to save the game? Yeah, that's not what I'm talking about. That is not what I'm talking about. You don't get credit for a last second save of embarrassment by beating Virginia Tech right at the end when they were bad. You should not be in the position to need a last minute drive to beat that team. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the best teams we play. Not bragging about barely beating a bad team. No, the good ones. We haven't had a quarterback that can put the team on his back and will us to victory. And it pisses me off because that used to be one of the things Notre Dame was known most for. Look at the Heisman list at Notre Dame. Like, that used to be the thing. And even the guys that didn't win the Heisman. Look at Tony Rice. Look at Montana. Coach Freeman loves Sam's Flow. Yeah, good for him. Go to The Bachelor. Be on TV. I'm just good guy, like all that. I wish him nothing but the best. But when I see Sam Hartman, I get frustrated. He looks better than he plays, and that bothers me, okay? Seriously, I don't know how else to say it. That guy looks a lot better than he plays football, and that bothers me. If you want to say I'm jealous of the way that guy looks, go for it. I don't care. I just wish he played as good as he looks. Leonard averages less than 160 yards per game in his college career. It has a 2-to-1 TD to interception rate. I don't know why Freeman wanted the guy. What if it's the big body dual threat? Is that an acceptable answer of maybe why you wanted that? And maybe it provides something different that the other two transfer quarterbacks did not provide. Cone was the Statue of Liberty, literally. And Hartman's not known for his legs, and that's not a strength of his. That's not something you could really scheme up often. So this is different in the way that you're getting a bigger body guy, and he is more mobile. So maybe that should be a benefit. Also, Den Brock likes that style of quarterback. That is his style preference, is a guy that could do those things. So, that kind of lines up with what Den Brock wants to do. SPF. I'm not very high on Riley Leonard, but I think he'll do better than Hartman. He could turn broken plays into major gains. There you go. I talk about it all the time. Unless a guy's accuracy and arm strength is like 100% on a video game style, why wouldn't you want a running quarterback and a throwing quarterback so that every one play turns into two plays? A drop back pass play and nobody's open can turn into a first down with Riley Leonard running. In a way, it can't with Jack Cone. So to me, in the modern age, unless you have a guy whose arm is absolutely unbelievable and is a true difference maker, give me a guy who could do both so every one play turns into two options. John, to answer your question from a week ago, I have BK finishing 10-2 regular season with a victory playoff win. I'm not expecting a championship, but I do in year 4 and 5. Go Tigers. Thank you for getting back to me with an answer to that. We'll see. Aren't they replacing a lot of talent? You going to be on the NUS bus for quarterback there, redoing that defense. It's going to be an interesting year there for Kelly. A lot of kind of changes. And it's going to be interesting to see how they do. LSU's must watch football for me. I don't think I missed a game last year. Just out of intrigue. It's so interesting to me to see Kelly in a different environment. I can't get enough. Commander, we're screwed then, John. Freeman left him in and he broke his leg. I'll never forgive that. That's in reference to Evans. And here's the thought on Evans. I brought this up to Goolsby before about why was he in the game when that injury happened. We were up 35 points. Goolsby said to me, fans give coaches too much credit that they are fully aware of every single little thing going on at all times. When I asked why that guy's in the game when we're winning by 30, Goolsby was like, John, I guarantee it. Nobody specifically went out there and told Evans not to run out there in that package. And then he just ran out there like he would if the game was tied. And nobody told him, get out of here, put somebody else in. So that package, and he's a part of it, so he just ran out there. So, I don't like hearing that, but he's like, John, that's the only thing that makes sense. Because if they were thinking about it, he wouldn't be in. There's no way you'd be in. So I don't know, man. I don't know. Sean from BC, Olden stays is better than Evans. Bummer we lost stays. That one was interesting to me because Holden Stays was getting opportunities. It's not like he was riding the bench and then like I could see him wanting to leave because he wasn't getting a chance to do anything. Like he was planned to be a part of that offense. So I think that surprised me a little bit. And when he took off, it was right in that time right after the Stanford game where the receivers kind of took off and all that drama happened with the receiver room leaving. And I was just like, what's going on here with this? That one surprised me a little bit. So I don't know. But I don't, I mean, I don't know if he's, I don't know if I'd say he's that much better or whatever. It would just be nice to have that other option, especially when Evans has an injury problem and Eli Raerden has an injury he's coming off of like that. That makes you a little nervous. I can always count on dad in the morning. Hartman was not good and you had the worst OC in the country. Put that together and you were shit. Dad, don't sugarcoat it in the morning. Tell us how you really feel. Oh, man. That is rough. Yeah, God bless Troy. That's all I have to say. Good for them. Cone was our best quarterback this decade by a country mile. Oh, man, that's depressing. I do not want to hear that. Oh, man. That's a little rough. Also, what do you, I'll go to the calls in 1 minute. What do you guys think about anything with Pro Day? It was good to see Estime run faster this time around. That was obviously good for him to see that. I'm wondering what else you took away from Pro Day that stood out to you. I know Caleb Williams Pro Day was a big deal for the Chicago Bears. You guys, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Just, you know, we got reports on Chicago radio stations. You know, Caleb even brought a notepad with him to the meeting with the Bears to write notes down. Isn't he an impressive leader? Like, that's how far it's going. Chicago is off their rocker about Caleb Williams. He's perfect. He walks on water. He's humble. He is all those. If you listen to Chicago radio, he is all those things. Perfect. Never thrown an incompletion. That Notre Dame game in 23 never happened. Just don't even look at it. The guy is perfect. And he's exactly what the Bears need. And he's humble as can be. And that is the story the Chicago media is selling you. I almost drove off the road. Unbelievable. So it's just, it's absolutely wild. Yeah, senior, better check out the OC at Iowa. Oh, man. If you're even in that ballpark, you have problems. 469 and 419 are going to be the first two up. 469, what's going on a Friday? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, John. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. Just I'm enjoying that we're in spring football because it's better than no football. And just trying to think about what we're putting together here. What's on your mind?
I've actually been thinking about something, a couple of things. The first one is pertaining to the quarterback competition that never fails to be an ongoing conversation. That it doesn't matter who's in the quarterback room, it seems like at Notre Dame, it's just as the world turns or as the football turns, whatever the hell.
Yeah.
What I want to bring up is an interesting thought. You mentioned before that Goolsby, in a conversation you had with him, that he had mentioned Sam Hartman told was it a thinking a drawing a blank on the name, Buckner, that Sam Hartman had told Tyler Buckner that Sam Hartman had been promised the starting job, and he told him that after or during spring, and that that led to Tyler Buckner deciding to kick rocks. Here's just a thought. I have nothing to base this on other than just pure conjecture, but what if, because Buckner was outperforming him in spring, Hartman told him that, not because it was true, but because he was worried about Sam. I mean, he was worried about Buckner beating him out.
Oh.
So he decided, you know what?
Oh, we got a juicy.
I'm going to throw some shade on this.
Yeah, we got
this guy up off my back.
We got a juicy conspiracy here, a theory here. yeah, that would be.
I mean,
man, that would be like disappointing, man. Like you would hope, you know, all that nice guy stuff with Hartman. It's like, oh, he wasn't elite, but at least he was a good dude around here, whatever. That would change that perception. I would hope that didn't happen. And the other thing is, listen, I know everybody wants pure competition for these spots. You got to admit, it doesn't have to be spoken. If you're paying one guy a whole bunch of money to come here, doesn't that kind of indicate to you the direction they want to go without it ever having to actually be said? I just think that's a real thing. When you bring a guy in here on the money deal for 1 year, doesn't that kind of dictate to you without it being said where they want to go?
No. And here's the reason why. The coaching staff isn't making the decision on paying them the money. The coaching staff is saying, you know, here's a guy that we like, that we want to bring in. Somebody else is making the decision as far as, hey, what's it going to take to get you here? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you don't think those are connected though? Like Brady Quinn and the money arm of this, it aren't doing stuff without running it all through the football staff first.
Maybe now they can be, but when the decision was made to bring in Riley Leonard, the coaching staff couldn't be a part of that decision-making process. They had to be completely removed from it per NCAA rules, and I really, really doubt that Notre Dame was willing to skirt that line. They might be willing to do that now because the NCAA has ruled that, hey, you can do whatever. There's no rules, you know, preventing it kind of thing. But at that point in time, there were specific rules that coaching schools in general couldn't be a part of the NIL deals and the collectives.
I think in theory, I think you're right, but I don't think in practicality that's how it goes. If you don't think there was, if you don't think there was back channels between Notre Dame and Riley Leonard before he entered the portal, and this was all a done deal before he entered the portal, like, dude, that's how this goes now.
Oh, yeah.
By the time a guy hits the portal, it's a done deal.
That's different than the money aspect. You know what I mean? There can be decisions made. Hey, we're in contact with his people, meaning the recruiting staff is in contact with his people, and they're going ahead and targeting him, saying, hey, as soon as this portal opens, we like you. We want to bring you in. In other words, they're not in direct contact with him because that's tampering, but they're in contact with people adjacent to him. And they've got... what do you call it? The collective knows who the, as far as the coaching staff has interest in. So the collective is in contact with his people saying, hey, this is the money aspect of it. The coaching staff, as far as the recruiting office, is in contact with his people. This is what we're looking at. You see what I'm saying? So it's not the aspect of the coaching staff saying, if you come to Notre Dame, you've got a starting spot. You see what I'm saying? It's a little bit more nuanced than that. But the reason why the coaching staff just can't just outright tell a guy, hey, you come here, you got a starting spot, and it's because we're paying you, The reason why that can't be done is then you become no different than Texas A&M. And look at the hot, toxic mess that became.
Yeah. See, that's where you end up.
You see what I'm saying?
That's where you end up in a very tricky spot, right? Like that because you these guys don't want to come here on a one-year deal their final year and then not play. But you also don't want to promise a guy a job because you kill all the competition in your own program. Like Freeman could never get up there in spring and go, oh, it's Riley Leonard and he's our guy. Because what message are you sending to the rest of those quarterbacks? But at the same time, the money hints to you what direction they want to go, whether it's set or not. That's kind of my point. That is an unstated message it sends of like where their mind's at. That's, you know,
well the simple aspect is, yeah, we would like Riley Leonard to be the starter, but if Riley Leonard goes out there in practice and he looks okay, but Kenny Minchie looks like, damn, this guy's on a whole different level. How stupid are they if they decide, well, no, we paid $1.2 million for Riley Leonard. We got to start him over Minchie. It doesn't matter if Minchie looks like he could be another Jaden Daniels, but damn, we paid that $1 million and some change.
Now here's my question:
nothing we can do. Our hands are tied.
Here's my question:
that's the road you go down if you play it that way.
The question I have is, what, how much better than Riley Leonard would one of these other quarterbacks have to perform this spring to jump him? That's my question. Like, that's my question.
It would have to be to where a reasonable person who knows football can see what they call, you know, we've all heard it, the eye test. You know, if a reasonable person who knows football, who knows quarterbacking, can look and see that there's a clear difference.
Yeah.
That's the point when it's not one of those where one guy's got upside and another's guy. It's not one of those where, hey, this guy's got a better game in this way, but this other guy, it's not one of those things where it's kind of like, you know, somebody's better in this way, but another guy is better in this way. That way, there's too much, you know, what do you call it, in play there for it to be a matter of, you know, perhaps maybe, you know, after four or five starts, this guy could end up being better. It's got to be one of those where it's unquestionable. This dude's just better. And that's all it is.
Yeah. Man, these conversations make me a little uncomfortable. And the reason why is, I'm an old school guy. I want it to be spring and everybody's on an equal playing field and everybody gets an equal chance to show what they could do and run the offense. And then whoever the best, most effective guy is that the guys rally around should get that job. Like, that's what's in my pure football heart. I just think in the modern age, it's a lot more complicated than that. And that's really, really tough and tricky. And and I don't like thinking, just because you pay the money, that guy's going to be the starter. But when it comes down to it, I think the guy you're paying the money is going to be the starter. Like, if Riley Leonard's healthy, he's going to be the starter. I just don't think anything that happens this spring is going to change that. I don't. I just don't think that. I think that's the path. Is that the best way to do it? I don't know. Are the other guys better than him? I don't know. That's just how I see it happening. It is uncomfortable to me, though. I don't like money getting... I don't like feeling like money's getting in the, having an influence over the depth chart, but I admit money's in some ways having an influence over the depth chart. It just is. I'm not saying it's right.
The best way to approach it, and you hope the coaching staff does this, no matter what fans say, you know, we as fans, no matter what we say, the hope is that the coaching staff recognizes that there's a difference between these guys getting paid because their name, image, and likeness is being used to promote the game. That's the whole reason for the NIL. We use their name, image, and likeness to promote the game. So therefore, they are getting broken off a piece.
Right.
The coaching staff, if they can divorce that from who starts and who plays whatever, that's the best situation to be in. The problem is that some of these schools, the collectives, and before it was collectives, it was the guys meeting in a back room at, you know, whatever restaurant and handing over bags of cash. Those booster supporters, whatever, were getting in coaching staff's ears like, hey, how come my guy's not starting? I paid you this amount of, or I paid him this amount of money.
Right.
You know, I want to see some fruition on that, you know?
Yeah, here's what
the hope is that Notre Dame doesn't allow that. You know, the hope is that Notre Dame is smart enough not to let itself go down that road.
Yeah, here's the danger. They're making progress with NIL at Notre Dame. Yeah, Brady Quinn in charge of that checkbook from that end of it. And that's somebody I trust to have a modern gauge of realities here. So with him in charge of the fund, doing a lot of this, signing off and negotiating, I asked Goolsby, I said, how does this go? And he said, if you pony up $1 million or whatever it is for Hartman or Riley Leonard, and you scrounge up that money from the donors to get this guy, and you pitch them that this is an important part of making the team successful, and then he doesn't start, the next time you go back to that group and ask for another $1 million for a player, they're going to go, well, you didn't even use the guy that you made us pay for last time. We're not doing this. We didn't get any ROI on our money. That's the problem you run into if you don't go with the guy. You got to make a pitch to get that money. And then if you do that and don't play the guy, the next time you go back to the well, they're going to go, we gave you money last time, and the guy's holding the clipboard. We're not giving you money again.
That's
the problem. I hate all this. This is not what college football is supposed to be about. I'm throwing a hissy fit. I don't like it. This is not a discussion I want to have about college football, but here we are. I don't like it. I don't love it.
Diversity and the program has to have an understanding with the people who are contributing money. This money is going to pay the players because they deserve to be paid. You have no say in who starts or who doesn't, and you have to be okay with that.
Yeah, it makes me uncomfortable, and I don't like this, man. I mean, I agree with what you're saying in theory. I just don't know. I don't know the mechanics of this behind the scenes. I have really tried to figure out how much is promised to these guys about, and I don't have that information. Now, let me ask this. Let me turn this discussion into the future. See if you agree with me. I think Notre Dame's long-term success is going to be best served with a homegrown quarterback that grows at Notre Dame with the coaches and his teammates and matriculates through the life of a Notre Dame quarterback. I just feel that's a more stable place for Notre Dame to compete. Hitch your wagon to a guy you really like and trust with big upside. Let the team all grow together. And I really, tell me if you agree, I hope this is the last year we're doing this portal thing and we can find one of our own guys to hitch a wagon to moving forward. I just think that's going to be a more consistent path for Notre Dame.
I thought it was a mistake bringing in Sam Hartman. I thought it was a bigger mistake bringing in Riley Leonard. I've been on message boards telling people you're over evaluating Sam Hartman. He's not going to be as good as you think he is. One, he played in a gimmicky offense. His play at Wake Forest isn't going to translate. It's a completely different offense. It's not going to translate. He's dealing with a first-time OC. There's just too much new, you know? And that bore fruit, you know? And then Riley Leonard, he's not some spectacular quarterback who's like, you know, lighting the world on fire at Duke. He's got good upside. He's got intangibles that you can win games with him. But is it that much better to than what you've got as far as guys on the roster, and that's the problem. I feel like they're mortgaging the future in order to win now. But if you're not winning a national championship now,
yeah.
The hell is the point?
See, that's the argument. That's always been my argument. If you're doing a one-year rental, then you got to get big results to make it worth giving up any development and coming together as a group with a guy that you're going to build experience with moving forward. That's the give and take. These are one-year deals. If you don't win big, then there's no development with the team or anything because the guy's gone. And that's the frustration we had with a part of the frustration with Hartman. You did that and you didn't get the results. And now we're starting kind of at ground zero.
I tell you what, I was on your show a week or two ago, and I said that you had asked me what's the floor as far as, you know, what would be acceptable as far as the bottom line for the season. I was saying, as long as they show progress, but the more I think about it, because that would be the case if they went ahead and were starting, they just picked a guy, Angelic Menchikar, and just, rolled one of them out there. Hey, he doesn't have starting experience, but this is our guy. We're going to roll with him and see where it goes. Then it would be to show progress. But since they went out and got Riley Leonard, and if he actually ends up proving to be the starter, meaning they've determined this is the best guy among the bunch, he has no eligibility after this, so we're going all in for this season, then it has to be make the playoff, and it has to be if you're not winning a first round game in the playoffs, it has to be you're playing the national champion in the first round and you just got beat by the national champion and you look competitive. I'm not talking 2020 Alabama, yeah. Get smoked and everybody's wondering what the hell were they doing in that game. It can't be 2012 where everybody's knowing before you even step on the damn field that you're going to get freaking blown off the field.
Yeah. Yeah. It's this is a good conversation. I agree with you, like where your sense of justice is kind of with all this. I totally agree with you. Mm-hmm. I just know it gets really complicated. And the more I hear behind the scenes about all this NIL and the negotiations and the different, it's really complicated. And I don't love it. And it makes me uncomfortable. It's just things are a lot more complicated than the good old days where there's three quarterbacks and the best one gets to play. It's just more complicated than that. That's all I'm saying.
Why? You know why that is?
Because money corrupts and ruins everything that we like. That's why.
well, even more. The heart of it is the NCAA sat on its hands, refused to do its damn job and take control of the sport.
That's true.
And allowed
the
networks and the conferences to roll them over. And now the NCAA is being bent over the desk while the SEC and the Big Ten tag team the NCAA. Look at your sport now, bitch. You know what I mean? That's what they're doing.
Yep. Yeah, you're right, man. Listen, I totally understand where you're coming from, and some of this feels icky to me, and I don't like it either. I just know that money has influence, whether it's stated or unstated, that amount has an influence. Mm-hmm. That and you could say that's not right. I just think it's a reality. And then let me wrap up with this. Good call on a Friday. 419, you're coming up next. I just think that if you identify a guy like Riley Leonard, you come up with that money and you get him. And that's kind of where your mind's at for starting quarterback. I'm saying you could kind of set things up in the spring to prop the guy up that you want to be the guy. Like you can kind of dictate things to go the way you kind of want them to go without being obvious about it in spring. Like, there's a part of that too.
Yeah, you're talking about basically steering the ship. In other words, you have the guise of it's an open competition.
That's kind of what I'm getting at. Yes.
Kind of got your thumb on the scale.
That's kind of what I'm saying. How maybe, you shape it. Yeah. How you kind of shape that. Whether that be reps or what kind of protection you have versus another guy. Like there's a framework there. And I get it. Everybody hates this. I get it. I'm not defending that this is the way it's going. I'm telling you it's the way it's going. Don't make me think. It's not that I'm saying this is what I think is right or how it should go. I'm telling you what it is. Those are different things. Dr. John commented saying, come on, John, you're going to pay the guy and then you're going to pay the guy. And then, you know, if he's not that good, you're going to play him anyways. It's not, there's not going to be a situation where they set this up to where one of the other guys clearly outshines Riley Leonard and it's undeniable. That's what I'm telling you. That's not going to be what the spring set up to show because they don't want it to, I don't think. It's not right. I'm just telling you how this thing goes when there's money involved.
For that to happen, it would have to be one of those things where Riley Leonard ends up with the yips and he just he's just completely inept at playing football. You know what I mean? He would have to have such a regression from what we saw playing at Duke that it's like, okay, he's not even functional for an offense. You know?
Yeah.
In order for them to decide, like you're saying, for them to decide that we're going to go in a completely different direction, because the bigger problem there is, you know, when I think about it, as I'm fleshing this out, you know, in my mind, the bigger problem is if they go ahead and decide to go with somebody else other than Carr, and to some extent Minshew, but really these quarterbacks aren't fully this coaching staff's guys. You know what I mean? They didn't fully evaluate these guys and decide, you know, these are the guys we want in our quarterback room. It's kind of what just, you know, what they've, for lack of a better word, what's just been, you know, well, this is the room you've got kind of thing. So the problem is that, you know, Riley Leonard is their guy. This is the guy that they've evaluated and decided, hey, this is the guy we want. So if he ends up not panning out, then it begs the question, what the hell are they doing? Do they really know how to evaluate quarterback?
Yeah.
And so you've got the guys they got coming in, Deuce Knight in 2025, and then whoever in 2026 and beyond, it's like, it begins to beg the question, do they really know how to evaluate quarterbacks? If they couldn't get it right with, well, who are they getting it right with?
Yeah, nope. Hey, that's a good point. This is a great discussion. It's a really complicated one. It's an uncomfortable one. I don't like having it. And I don't like admitting the money has something to do with this, but it does. It just does. And I don't like it. I'm just saying this is the way it is.
I'll tell you how this is going to go. It doesn't matter if they start Riley Leonard, if they start somebody else, or, you know, whatever happens. One third of the fan base is going to be happy. One third of the fan base is going to be pissed off. And one third of the fan base isn't going to be happy either way it goes, because they are still pissed off that Notre Dame hasn't won a national championship. So no matter what Marcus Freeman, the coaching staff, does, they're going to have a problem with it because there is no national championship trophy in the trophy case.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I really appreciate this call. It's really complicated stuff. Yep. I totally understand exactly where you're coming from. It's just, it's complicated and I don't love it, but it's the modern realities, man. And they need to, the bottom line is they got to get this right. You need to make sure you line up this pecking order at quarterback the right way so you don't play the wrong guy and the right guys are on the bench and then they're mad and they leave and then you're in a bad spot and that quarterback room folds. That's what you can't have happen here.
That's been my fear. I've heard you talk about it, and that's been my fear, is that they start Riley Leonard. Minchie or Angeli transfers, and one of them is actually the guy who proves to be the right guy for the future, but he's on the roster of another team, and then you watch him ball out, and you're like, well, he could have been here.
Yeah. Yeah, man, it's just it's a very complicated discussion. Hey, man, thanks for giving me a call on a Friday there. I like that thesis. Good delivery on a complicated discussion. I appreciate that, man.
Hey, I always enjoy your show. I try to catch it as often as I can, usually listening on the podcast playback. So,
well, thank you, man.
It's always great. And, try to continue calling in every once in a while.
There you go, man. I appreciate it a lot. Come up with another theory, man. Give me a call back with the thesis. Thank you. Have a good weekend.
All righty.
Take care.
Take care.
That got deep. Dude, I understand nobody likes this. I understand nobody likes this. I'm just telling you the realities. 1 year ago, I was sitting in this exact same seat listening to everybody tell me that Buckner was outplaying Hartman and that was the talk of the spring. I was sitting in this exact same seat ago to the day. And what I told everybody is, cool, awesome. Write all your articles about that. And then Sam Hartman's going to be the starter. Like, I'm sorry. That was just the way it was going to be. Oh, John, were you going to take back what you said? Because I'm hearing Buckner's outplaying Hartman. And then I said, I don't care what they tell you in spring. Hartman's going to be the starter if he's healthy. I'm sorry. It's just, you don't set this stuff up unless you really have a strong inclination of how you are going to make it kind of go. I watched the spring game and Tyler looked like crap. End of discussion. The problem with that was Tyler was already packed heading to Alabama. If you're wondering why he looked completely out of sorts, it's because he was already packing for Alabama and he was checked out, going through the motions. So I don't know. $5 Olive from the V1 rotate. Thank you very much. Whoever said Stays is better than Evans should be locked up and studied. I thought he could have been a good weapon, and I'm just a little frustrated that he left. Thank you for the $5 holler, though. I do appreciate that. Let's see. So because of the money you choose to lose, here's the thing, Dr. John. You don't go get Riley Leonard, if you think you have the next quarterback that could start and he's good enough in-house already. Some of this evaluation's already taken place. And you know CJ Carr's a freshman and you want him to preserve a year. So that's out. And then you have Minchie, who's done really nothing because he hasn't had playing time. And then Steve, who's done a really good job in mop-up duty, but not as a starter. Like, you can't act like this is all starting from ground zero. These guys entered the portal with judgments on those other guys already. And that's what made them say, we need to go to the portal to get a guy that's more reliable and has proven more. It's not an equal evaluation starting at ground zero. You don't go do all this if you're already confident one of the guys in-house can be the starter. You don't do this because it messes everything up that way. You're sending a message about your evaluation already when you do this. That's the message. It lets you know you're not starting from ground zero or you wouldn't do this. Here's the other thing you guys need to accept. This is not popular. You need to accept this. Steve Angeli is the least talented quarterback on this roster. Straight up. I don't know what it's going to take for people to understand that. Physically speaking, Angeli's the least gifted guy in that room. That doesn't mean he might not be a better quarterback at this point than some of the other guys. Follow me here. I'm not saying he can't play quarterback and operate the system as well. He is the least physically gifted guy in that room. He does not have CJ Carr's natural gifts. He does not have Minshew's natural arm. I don't know. John makes this statement, and we've never seen Minshew and Carr play. I know the gifts we're working with. It's not, dude, Notre Dame people are way too comfortable settling with traits and RKG and intangibles and toughness and a name that sounds like peanut butter that everybody likes. You got to reach a little higher than that. I'm just telling you, you can disagree with me all you want. Angeli is the least physically gifted guy in that room. He may be further down the road of operating an offense. I'm not saying that. That's a different discussion. But physical gifts, least talented guy in the room with the smallest ceiling. High floor, low ceiling. So I'll say exactly what I said last year about the Hartman thing. I don't care what happens this spring. If everybody's healthy, Riley Leonard's the starter. Deal with it. And if I'm wrong, everybody can roast me. That's how I'm just telling you now, that's how it's going to go. I don't care what report comes out of practice. I don't care if Angeli was throwing backwards passes and completing them all 80 yards. If everybody's healthy, Riley Leonard's going to be the starter. Accept that. And so, I don't know. And the way that I'm hearing things are going behind the scenes, it really looks like Angeli's holding on to that two spot right now. I wanted to see the competition between Minshew and him for that two spot. From what I'm hearing, it looks like Angeli's holding on to that. What does that do for Minshew? Does he hit the portal like Buckner did after spring? I don't know. I'm just telling you guys, you don't have to like it. I'm not saying it's the fairest way to do it. I'm just telling you the fact. If everybody's healthy, Riley Leonard's the quarterback, and it's not even a discussion, not a debate. It's just not. And we're going to find out. But 1 year ago, I sat in this exact same chair, and you guys were saying, oh, what about this article that says that Buckner's outplaying Hartman or what? And I said, that's cool. And Hartman's still going to be a starter. it is what it is. Oh, man. James, what's going on? Always working during these shows, but always stop by to give you a like, Johnny boy. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. I'm struggling with this concept that Notre Dame would do evaluations on the guys in-house, think they have a guy good enough to lead the team and be the starter, and then mess that up by going to the portal to get a final additional grad transfer guy that is going somewhere to play his last year. Otherwise, there's no purpose to transfer. You're not grad transferring to sit the bench. I kind of feel like I'm being backwards gaslit here. Logically think it out. If Freeman thought those guys were good enough to start, you would not go get a grad transfer guy that has 1 year to play left that wants to play one more year. You wouldn't go there. You wouldn't do it if you thought you had that. These evaluations, it's not a clean slate, and then we started spring. Some of these evaluations have already been done, and that's why Riley Leonard's here. So I'm not saying it is fair or a transfer, whatever, last year. If it's true Minshew's so great, then that tells me another mistake by Freeman. I don't know, maybe. So I don't know. He is a classic RKG. Who is? Riley Leonard or Angeli? Who's at RKG? So if Angeli's so bad, why is he on the roster? You guys are making things up. I never said Angeli's bad. He has the lowest physical ceiling of the guys in that room. That doesn't mean he's bad. He does an excellent job operating this offense. Steve, you guys, you don't win playoff games with Steve Angeli. You don't. You don't. You're not making a playoff run with Steve Angeli. You pile it on Pitt with Steve Angeli. You don't make playoff runs with Steve Angeli's skill set. You just don't. You don't. That's old Notre Dame quarterback thinking. He's RKG plus, plus, plus. And that's not an insult. It's RKG plus. So I'm just telling you, this is the way this is going to go. You can say all you want to say, and it isn't fair. I'm just telling you, this is the way it's going to go. If I don't know. Big athletic arm, Blyberg. Big arm. Naturally gifted arm on Minchie. 419, what's going on?
Hey, John, how are you?
I'm doing well on a Friday. What's on your mind?
Well, I haven't got to see a whole lot, been busy with work this week, but I did see some of the pro day results yesterday. It seemed like everyone did pretty well, especially Thomas Harper.
Yeah, and I think everybody's happy for I think everybody's happy that Audric ran quicker. That was a big deal. So I'm glad that he did a better number there.
Yeah, I am. I'm glad for him for that too. I saw we got Jordan Faison's brother for 26. We're already getting 26 commits as well.
Yeah, it's funny, man. You're getting full of Faisons here, and, you know, and so that was entertaining to see. So you got another one of those. Yeah, beautiful. Any thoughts on spring? Any thoughts on that quarterback debate we were just having?
I mean, it's basically what you were just saying. Unless he's not healthy, it's going to be Riley Leonard, because one thing that a lot of people forget is experience is a huge thing at quarterback, and he's the only one with experience. And unless we have one of those guys that are coming in and they're elite right now, there's no reason to not go with the experience there as well.
Yeah, it's, man, I just think you don't go pay a transfer like this unless you want him to be your guy. I just think the money tells you the plan. I you don't have to overthink this. The money tells you the plan. It's not that hard to figure out. The money tells you the plan. And if they thought they didn't need help at quarterback, you wouldn't mess up the whole room and the team by bringing a new guy in. You just don't do all that. They know what they want to do. They're telling you what they want to do. The money tells you the plan. This is not that complicated. People just want 1950s pure competition like when their grandpa grew up, and that's not what it is now. I'm sorry. I'm just losing my patience with it. Don't overthink it. The decisions and the money tell you where their mind is at. You don't have to overthink that. They're telling you without telling you by their actions what their plan is. And if your eyes are open, you see it. It's clear to me how this is going to go, barring injury. Absolutely clear. No, I have no question. I don't have 1% question that if all these guys are healthy, Riley Leonard's quarterback, no matter what happens in spring. That's it.
That he said he was transferring to Notre Dame, he was the starter, barring injury, because we don't have one of those guys that are going to come in and be elite. So why not go with someone that Ben Brock, you know, that's, like you said earlier, it's in his system. He loves those dual threats. That's a huge reason. Like, well, you see Deuce's tweet where they had him in a meeting for his visit, and they had like Desmond Ridder. They had Jaden Daniels send him saying, "You're next." Like, that is exactly what Ben Brock wants, to make these dual threats into big time players.
Right. Yeah. It's, man, I'm getting sick of this discussion. I hate it. Can we just hitch our wagon to a young quarterback that we like, and then we can avoid all this discussion, because it's really starting to annoy me. I people want this pure thing that just isn't pure anymore. It's just not. It's not. And I'm sorry, man. Again, And Jelly is the least physically gifted guy on that. You're not making a playoff run with Steve Angeli, you guys. He doesn't have the skill set to be able to do, like, that's not it. This is, that's game manager plus, plus, plus. RKG plus, plus, plus. That's Angeli. He's not as physically gifted as other guys. You're not making a playoff run with them. Deal with that. Everybody needs to understand that. Just because you saw him complete passes in mop-up duty when we were winning by 30 and then beating a dead Oregon State team, don't let that change the realities here.
Yep. Yeah, that is exactly it. I mean, there's the quarterback competition is the backup. Let's be fair here. Freeman won't say it right now, but that is the quarterback
competition. That's true. And the next question is, what happens to the guy who doesn't win the backup job? There is a quarterback competition. It's just not to start. Like, that's what I've been saying. There definitely is a quarterback competition. It ain't for the starting role, though. It's to decide who that backup is. And then my thought is, if it's Angeli, because he's more stable than Minchie is, but Minchie has a higher ceiling, but he's not as developed yet. Does Minchie stay or does Minchie leave if he's not second string? That's a big question I have. I don't have the answer to it.
I mean, we won't have a clear answer until whatever is named is named, like however it goes. But John, you and I have talked about it a few times, and I think we both agree. I don't think there's any way we keep all these guys in this quarterback room. Especially if it's in Billy name the backup and mention the third string.
Something's gotta give.
Never get a chance.
Yeah, somebody's going to fall through the cracks because of the way this is layered over the years where these guys are. Somebody's gonna fall through the cracks. So whether that's Minchie or like someone's not gonna have a seat at this table eventually. So something's got to give. And when Deuce comes in here, all of this changes again. He is going to be by far the most athletic guy we've had ever at that position. And then that's going to change things too. So this is complicated. But that's one of my biggest questions of the spring is what happens to the guy who loses the backup competition?
I mean, I would love to keep all these guys, but I've pretty much already prepared myself for whoever's named third string is, we're going to get breaking news. By the time I get home from the spring game, we're going to get breaking news that they are in the portal.
Yeah, it's,
I mentally prepared myself for that.
Yeah, it's in, and so they, it's got to be, it's just, it's, you got to get this right. But the part I keep coming back to that's bothering me is, people saying, well, because of the money, you're going to choose to lose by playing the guy that you're paying when there's other guys better. My point is that evaluation's already over. That's my point. They've already evaluated and decided they don't have anybody ready to start right now. That's why you go into the portal. If they thought they had a guy that could do that, you don't do this. Or you get a clearly depth guy to add to the portal, not a guy that is looking to start at his next move. That's my argument. You only end up in this situation if you've already looked at that pecking order and kind of decided that you needed a guy with more experience. I want to get out of this. Can we get a homegrown young guy, hitch the wagon to him and avoid all this? Because it's an awful, it's an annoying conversation to have, and it makes me uncomfortable. I don't like it.
I would love to just, you know, start someone from right when they commit to starting and then build them up. But we're not going to see that till next year. But this is the final year of our transfer. Oh, this new transfer coming in that we paid all this money, they might not start. No, they're going to start. But it is the last year of that with CJ and then Deuce coming in. And the way they keep recruiting, it's going to be that way for a long time, as long as this coaching staff keeps recruiting like they do.
Yeah, it's, and again, Manny, people really aren't a fan of Stevie. It's crazy. I'm a fan of Steve Angeli for what he does. And that's not playoff game winning athleticism. It's being a game manager plus, plus, plus. Notre Dame needs more than that to four games in a row in the playoff than an RKG plus, plus, plus. And you're impressed because he threw across his body when we were blowing a pit out by 40. That's not getting it over the hump at Notre Dame. We need to wake up here. We need a different quarterback thing.
John, then here's a scenario for you. Let's say, I mean, you know, and God forbid, but let's say Riley Leonard gets us to the playoffs. That, like, right before halftime against USC, let's say we're up like 20, Riley Leonard goes down. And in this scenario, say all four quarterbacks stayed, but they named Njeli the second string. Would you want in that playoffs them to just go with to the name second string or the guy you think might have a higher ceiling than Minshew?
See, this is all about risk. How risk averse are you? Goolsby and I were debating that. How do you decide between more reliable but a lower ceiling and a little less reliable but a lot higher skill set upside? And that's up to your risk aversion, like your appetite for risk, I think. Right? Like Steve Angeli could go run the operation. Yeah. He's done a great, great job. You're just not going on a playoff run with Steve Angeli. That's just not going to be a thing.
So does that mean you would rather than take the shot on Minshew?
I don't know. That's a very fair question. I don't know. In a playoff moment like that, they're going to go with the more reliable guy. In that moment, because it's a big stage, they're going to want a guy that they could trust more. So then there, it would probably be Angeli on that.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it. Whoever's named second string, I mean, it's just all those off-season hypotheticals that you got to do something to pass the time, right? But
yeah.
I thought that was actually one of those fair hypotheticals that you actually have to think about for a minute.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I really don't like this conversation. It does make me awkward because I don't want to sound like a corporate money rules everything guy. Like, I know Dr. John hates this conversation and it hurts him to hear me say, this is a competition in name only. I totally understand all that. I share all that. I just know how this is going to go. And you know why? Because it went the same way last year. They're telling you what they're doing in front of you. You don't have to think to figure it out. You just have to watch what they do. I don't know. I'm getting frustrated with it, but
we would not be paying Riley Leonard this money if there was an actual competition for starting.
That's what I'm saying. Like the about, you would not bring in a guy if you thought you had a guy that could start and do the job great this year. The last thing you do then is complicate and mess up the chemistry in that room by bringing in a guy with big money and then dump him in the mix. And then everything's a weird mess. You don't do that. You don't do that. They went and got Riley Leonard because they didn't think the other guys would be ready enough to start. They told you that.
Yeah, they did. And, well, I mean, it goes back to what I was saying at the start of the call, John. It's like experience is something a lot of people don't think about. Like, you might see a couple of games, like we've seen the Oregon State game from Angeli, and he looked great. But he has one career start against a depleted Oregon State team. Riley Leonard I don't know the exact number, but he has been a 2-year starter for Duke, and he has that experience compared to the rest of these guys.
Yeah, it's, and then here's the other thing. What happens next year then? Say Angeli's the backup this year. So because of his experience and how steady he is, and those are compliments, by the way, not insults. If he's the backup this year, then what happens next year? Do you have a Carr Angeli contest next year?
I believe you would.
This is complicated. It's complicated, man.
You have somebody with one career start. Like, let's say we make the playoffs, Riley Leonard stays healthy. We have a guy with one career start and Angeli versus a guy with no career start. So, and TJ Carr. So you're basically in the same spot either way. There's no experience. You just go full quarterback competition there.
Yeah. I'm about done with this portal thing. It complicates things. I wish we could grow our homegrown dude and have the team grow together around him and we all move on. I don't know. I really don't like this conversation though. It just sounds awful. And I don't mean it to be. I just understand they're telling you what they want to do with their actions. You don't really have to do much to figure it out.
And unfortunately, there's going to be those fans that are going to keep bringing it up all the way until season starts at the end of August.
Yeah, it's going to be a thing.
Something to talk about.
It's going to be a thing. Yeah. This is not even something I'm debate. Like, I don't even lay down at night and go, I wonder who the starter is going to be. All the Notre Dame things I think about and worry about, that's not on the list. If healthy, Riley Leonard's the starter. Everybody needs to get that through their head now. But you cannot like it. You cannot like it, but accept that it's a reality. I'm not telling you to like it. I'm not telling you it's the fairest way to do this. I'm not telling you it's the most equitable way to figure it out. I'm just telling you the fact of the situation.
And there is a lot of other things that crossed my mind before. Is there a possibility that Riley Leonard is the starter? Like the receivers we talked about many times, nickel corner they brought up. Like, there is a lot of things that cross my mind before I even start to wonder if there's a chance that Riley Leonard could be getting paid all this money and sit on the bench.
Yeah, it's man, I'm happy to have the discussion. It's just an uncomfortable one for me to have. Like, I'm happy to have it. I it's just frustrating to everybody. Anything else, my friend? Thanks for giving me a call on a Friday.
I'll let you get to your other callers.
Appreciate that, man. Appreciate it. Have a good one. We'll be on tonight, too, if you got nothing going on.
All right.
Take care. Yep. Oh, man. I don't know. I feel like I'm boxed into a weird corner here. I'm not defending the way it's going. I'm not saying it's the fairest way to do it, but I'm telling you what's happening. I don't know. Whatever. Maybe I'm out of my mind. Actually, that's not really a maybe. $10 hour. Andrew, you're coming up. Coaches have evaluated what they need and went out and got it. Riley starts at quarterback. Riley starts. Let the coaches do their job. Listen, thanks, Philip. $10 hour. Looking good in that suit, by the way. Their actions tell you how this is going to go. You don't have to do any guesswork. Their actions tell you how it's going to go. It just is. $5 hour from the chief. Not complicated. One, Riley. Two, Minchie. Three, Angeli, because there's a chance he stays for the degree. Four, Carr. Angeli leaves after graduates. 100% lock. Ooh, interesting there. You got Minchie two, three, Angeli, but he stays for the degree. There you go. I don't understand what this means. Double down on the QB talk and put the screws to Johnny. Let's see if he blows a fuse. There is, if healthy, Riley Leonard's the starter. I don't care what else you hear and you're told the rest of spring. That's the way this is going to go. I don't care. I don't care if you tell me the other guys never threw an incompletion. Okay, cool. Riley Leonard's the starter. I'm sorry. It isn't guesswork. I'm not guessing how that's going to go. I'm watching what Notre Dame's actions tell you they want to do. I'm watching what Notre Dame's actions tell you they want the plan to be. I'm not making up the roadmap. I'm looking at the one Notre Dame's provided. Man. Oh, boy. All right, here we go. 1 minute break. Andrew, you're coming up next, and we'll see what
in today's fast-paced digital age, seamless and secure transactions for your business
aren't a luxury. They're an absolute necessity. That's where your friends at Paisley step in. Paisley's in the business of making your business run smoother, not just as a payment processor, but as a true partner in your success and growth. Paisley's platform is intuitive, the fees are transparent, security ironclad, processing instant, and the support team is unmatched. If you're looking to take your business to the next level anywhere in the United States, call one of the all-stars of Always Irish Radio, Chicago's very own Tom Frawley at 773-332-7742 or email him tom@paisleypartners.com for a personalized payment processing consultation addressing your unique business needs. And be sure to tell them Always Irish sent you. Oh, boy. All right. Andrew, you're up. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, what's up, John? How's it going, man?
Good. I'm a little uncomfortable with the discussion today. Does that make sense to you? Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, and I think you're dead right. I mean, I think you're being nice to even kind of give it any oxygen. You're absolutely right. I mean, I think for anybody, I don't know, like, and I apologize, I hopped on a little late today, but for anybody who's like actually advocating for Angeli, you know, it's nothing against Angeli, but my question to you is, when we lost to Clemson last year, could Notre Dame have used Riley Leonard's legs to win that football game? I would say absolutely yes. And then I think about the second half against Duke. Yeah, Notre Dame's defense last year was a top five defense. And so you almost have to throw the stats and the score out the window. That was a dogfight of a game. And Riley Leonard put Duke on his back and ran past Maris Leofau like 10 times and scored two touchdowns. And if Mike Elko wasn't a wuss and went for it on fourth down, I think Riley Leonard would have got that first down and put Notre Dame away. So it's more than just practice reps and hitting guys on curl routes and fade routes. Riley Leonard's a gamer. Marcus Freeman knows that. Same with Denbrock. There's no controversy here. They want a gamer, somebody who will put the team on his back, especially with what I really want to call in about was, you know, with a makeshift wide receiver room, potentially makeshift wide receiver room, and a young offensive line. You don't put Steve Angeli in there with a redshirt freshman tackle and whoever else is going to start. So you put a gamer in there, a guy like Riley Leonard who can make stuff happen with his feet. And we've seen him deliver the ball. I mean, go look at his stats from 2 years ago. He had some pretty good passing stats. So there's no controversy when it comes to the quarterback room. So yeah. And again, I just want to reiterate that point. He would have, if Riley Leonard was the quarterback for Notre Dame against Clemson, they would have won the football game. And he did it to Clemson himself in the first week. He ran all over them. He trucked them, and they won by like three touchdowns. So we need that.
Yeah. And tell me good point on that. Tell me if you agree with this too. If you're doing the Riley Leonard transfer thing, that means you've already made evaluations on the other guys, and you feel like you need a starter with more experience or a different skill set, right? Like, the evaluation doesn't start once that guy's here. It went into the decision to bring him here. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean,
does that make sense? Like, yeah. you do those, you don't mess up the equilibrium in your quarterback room by bringing a guy in like this, unless you already have made the decision of that you need a starter. That's just how I see this. I don't know.
Well, I don't know how much more Gino Gadulli need to see of Steve Angeli. I mean, he's literally coached him for a full year. They've played him in mop-up duties. He started a bowl game, and let's just be frank about the bowl game. He played adequately. He really did a good job. But I mean, did he do anything in that bowl game that screamed, this guy's gonna be a 10-game winner or 10 or 11-game winner for Notre Dame? Yeah. I don't think so.
And here's the problem,
nothing,
Andrew.
Nothing against him.
Here's the problem. Yep. You're exactly right. The issue I have is you can't have this discussion without it coming off that you're crapping on Angeli saying he's horrible. And that's not what I'm saying. Like, really steady, good backup, like, type stuff. If Riley Leonard twists an ankle and you need Angeli, like, he could step in and do pretty good. It's not an insult to Angeli. But that's how it's always going to come off when you have this discussion. Always.
Well, and that's what used to piss me off about people who really gave a lot of crap to Drew Pine. And the reason why is I always defended Drew Pine for two reasons. Number one, he should never have been in the situation of being the starting quarterback at Notre Dame.
Correct.
He's just not a,
correct.
He's not a starter.
100%.
But why I always defended him was he had the balls to come in that Wisconsin game. And that ended up being a lopsided game. But remember, at the end of the third quarter, I think Wisconsin either tied the game or took a slight lead, and they had a lot of momentum. And Drew Pine, you know, righted the ship, led them down the field. They mostly ran the ball, but they scored a couple of touchdowns. And I think there's something to be said about having a good backup quarterback. Like, not everybody has to be, you know, a five-star number one quarterback. Sometimes you just need a backup quarterback who knows the playbook, who's got a veteran presence, and he's not going to lose the game for you. So there's a place for Steve Angeli on the team. It's just not as the starting quarterback for Notre Dame. So
yeah,
that's my opinion on the quarterback.
Yeah, I just don't. Last year, we went through the exact same thing, man. And I remember hearing that Buckner was outperforming and all Hartman. And I'm just like, I just think they told you what they want to do, and they're going to figure out a way to make it fit. And yeah. And that's just the way this goes. And Angeli, I am not crapping on Steve Angeli. I'm not, but we need to get our minds off what we've been used to seeing at quarterback at Notre Dame. I'm ready for something new, Andrew.
Yeah, I agree. I always relate it back to San Diego because that's where I'm from. But like San Diego Chargers one time won a huge playoff game against Peyton Manning and the Colts after Philip Rivers got injured and Billy Bullitt came in, and that guy was just a really serviceable backup quarterback. And I think that's what Angeli is, and he should stay on the team because Riley Leonard, the style of play he plays, he's one injury away from getting into the game. I hate to bring that up, but I mean, that's why a guy like Angeli should stick it out. I think he serves two purposes. He's a veteran presence who will give you good backup quarterback play. And number two, I don't think Denrock wants to make a decision between Carr or Minshew this year. He wants them to fight it out next offseason. And so I think that Angeli almost serves a political purpose of being the backup quarterback. You don't want to tip your hand because the worst thing that could happen is, you know, Carr, let's just be honest. Carr is not going to Notre Dame to get a degree. He wants to play in the NFL. And if he thinks that Kenny Minchie has an inroads on the starting quarterback job, he will not hesitate to transfer. Look at what Dante Moore did. Look at what the USC quarterback did, transferring to Boise. As soon as he realized, hey, I'm not the guy, he's out. And so Denbrock does not want that. He wants a true quarterback competition between Minchie and Carr.
Andrew, that's a good point. Andrew, you bring a lot of people are commenting. That's a really unique, that the political purpose angle you just played there was that's hitting people. That's pretty good thinking on a Friday.
But I don't think Denbrock would be shallow enough if like Minshew or Carr was spinning the ball and just kicking butt. Like, I don't think he'd be shallow enough to not put them number two. But I just don't think – I think he knows neither one of them is really ready to go. And so why put them as the number two and tip his hand? You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Yeah, it's – I just – it's do you agree that ultimately Notre Dame's – I think their best option is going to end up being hitching the wagon to a young guy they trust, and the team develops all together for a couple few years. I just think that's Notre Dame's most likely path to stability.
Yeah, that's 2025. But to be quite frank with you, John, it all depends on the results on the field. Because if Freeman has another sort of underperforming season, I think all cards are on the table because he needs to get he does not go young until he gets a contract extension.
Interesting to be able to have a little security there on the new deal.
Definitely. Look look at James Franklin at Penn State. I mean, he's not sweating right now, even though he loses to Michigan and Ohio State every single year. And the reason why he's not sweating is they locked him up to a 10-year guaranteed contract. You can't fire him. You have to pay him Jimbo Fisher type money if you want to get rid of him. So he'll do like the political move of firing his offensive coordinator, which he's done like five times or something like that. But so he's not going to sweat it. And so I think Freeman's the same way. Freeman has to win now. He's got to be in win now mode until he gets that contract extension. So you got to hope that Riley Leonard's the guy. I think he is. We got to keep him healthy. But what I wanted to call you, which I think is much more pressing, like other position groups, because Riley Leonard can't do it by himself. So,
yep. Nope. I agree with you. Offensive line is a big deal to make any of this happen, make any of it work. Use Riley Leonard's legs, use Den Brock's, whatever he's bringing it, for any of this to come together. You got to have that offensive line, right?
Yeah, I think to me,
week one, too.
That's the biggest thing.
Week one. That's the other thing. You have no easing in. It's week one. You got to be ready for SEC defense. Week one. Got to be ready.
Yeah. And I don't care how many guys have transferred off Texas A&M. If there was one thing that Jimbo Fisher did well at Texas A&M, is he recruited the defensive line really, really well. So I have to think they have a bunch of studs. And quite frankly, Marcus Freeman's teams have not performed well on the road.
Correct.
Particularly like early in games. Like, I don't know if you remember the NC State game last year, but NC State was clobbering Sam Hartman until that weather delay. I mean, yep. I don't even think I don't think we got a first down like on our first like three or four drives. It was ridiculous. So I'm glad that we have a steady hand in Denbrock, but if a veteran offensive line struggled against NC State, which, you know, granted did have a good defense, I think you got to expect a young offensive line to struggle a bit, you know, in College Station. So I think that's when we analyze the spring, you want to see like, where is Rudolph leaning in terms of the second tackle? Obviously he's made his decision on Jagasaw. He's going to be the left tackle. Is it going to be Tosh Baker? Is that guy any good or not? I mean, the guy's been on the team for, it seems like 10 years, and he just never plays. So I'd be interested to find out if he's any good or not.
Yeah.
And then what the heck is he doing? Go ahead. Yeah.
I was thinking about this last night, talking to some people about it, and I wanted an inside scoop on this. And I was told, keep in mind, last year, everybody thought they knew what they were going to do with that lineup. And even from the beginning of August camp till the end, there were a lot of changes in movement. So I don't think anything's going to be solidified this spring with that.
The other thing I was going to mention is it seems like Notre Dame, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not like, you know, Brian Driscoll and can like rattle off the depth chart for Notre Dame, but it seems to me like the offensive line has like 1,000 guards, but like no tackles. Like who is even the backup? I have no idea who the backup tackles are. So that worries me too. Like they might get it right, but then if they get an injury, do they have the depth to back it up? So
yeah, it's that offensive line is a big key. And then the other thing, Andrew, tell me if you agree, and I'm not trying to be negative. I'm in believe it only when I see it with the wide receivers. You can tell me all the good things you want and that there's fast guys now and that the room is replenished. I will believe it only when I see it. And what I need to see is a representative unit that plays good winning football and can be relied upon to give us that dimension of the offense. I'll believe it when I see it. I'm not buying any wide receiver hype till I see it in games.
All right. I'm glad you brought that up because that was like my main point. Because like the one thing that really frustrates me about just Notre Dame fans on message boards and then everybody who covers Notre Dame is literally for the last two off seasons, like they write glowing articles about, you know, the guys who are slated to be the starting wide receivers. And so what they have really proven is do not listen, or with one exception, and I'll go to the exception, but do not listen to these beat reporters and their analysis on like who's good and who isn't good. You know, listen to like who's starting, who's actually starting and who's not starting. I think that that's important information. Listen to the injury reports. I think that's important information. But in terms of like their opinion about how good someone looks, like it's total BS. Cause like they hyped up Merriweather Like, they really hyped him up for the last 2 years. How good he is.
True.
Then they hype up Lorenzo Styles. He sucked. They just like hype up a lot of guys. But one exception, and I'll give credit to Blue and Gold, is they did highlight that Faison guy. They're like, this, they have some walk-on guy, kid who's like better than like the, you know, the highly touted, you know, 4-star wide receivers that they had brought in. So yeah. I will say that they did say that. But I agree with you. The wide receiver room is not fixed until we actually see them. Like, let's have a guy have a 100-yard game with 2 touchdowns. The other thing that I think we should consider too, again, is a depth situation. So Jaden Thomas is good for at least 2 or 3 injuries, like a year. So that guy, like, I want to see it to believe it. That guy can actually play 12 games. And then, so it's just like, my question is, when someone gets hurt, does Notre Dame have the depth at wide receiver to replace it? Cause like, I even think about the kid that we brought in from FIU. It's like, supposedly he's like burning guys, but he's pretty damn small, you know? And so it's like, is he going to be able to like play 12 games against Power 5, you know, opponents? Like, I'd like to just see it, you know?
Yeah. And the Jaden Thomas, that messed up last year big time. He was going to be like your big body possession receiver that you could rely upon to be where he needs to be and catch the ball and all that. And then his injury that nagged all year was like a domino for wide receiver problems. That I thought that was a big negative, because I thought that that was somebody that Hartman could rely on to be where he needs to be and you know, give him some of that. And it really wasn't available all year. So that was one of the original dominoes to cause problems there.
I agree with that, because he's like a really good safety blanket. You know, like, I don't know if we can rely on him to like, you know, posterize people like a Keon Coleman or something like that. But he's like a guy who I think will be really reliable coming into here, because we don't have that depth right now at tight end the way that like we usually have. And so I think in lieu of that, you know, he could be that safety blanket. But I actually think what really derailed the wide receiver room in a big way was Greathouse getting injured. Greathouse was dope, like, for the first few weeks of the season last year. And he was awesome in the spring. Remember, he caught, like, freaking 15 passes in the spring. So when he got hurt, I think that was really big. I think he showed he was a lot better than Rico Flores. I'm not knocking Flores, because I think that guy could have been a pretty good wide receiver. I don't know why he transferred. But Greathouse, I think, is the real talent. And that's why, like, I've heard reports that Faison is practicing a little bit. But if I was Faison, I mean, no offense, like I get that he was, like, the number one player in the country, or that's his brother. But I get he's, like, an awesome lacrosse player. But you don't go to Notre Dame to play lacrosse. I'm sorry, man. Like, I don't support Notre Dame across all their sports. I support Notre Dame football. And Notre Dame football is the most serious, like, program that you can go to other than like Alabama or something like that. So like, for him to risk being the starting slot receiver to play lacrosse, like, I don't know, seems like short-sighted to me, because I think Greathouse is going to get a major advantage over him. He's gonna walk up that.
Yeah, that's interesting. That is interesting. And aren't there a lot of coaches who would say, if you want to do, you're not doing both. You're either all in on football or you're going to play lacrosse. Like, aren't there a lot of schools where they maybe like make you pick for that reason? I don't know how that goes.
Well, I remember like seeing like an interview. I forget the guy's name, but there was an awesome tight end in the early 90s for Notre Dame. And I think he played baseball as well. I forget his name, but he played in the NFL and stuff like that. Really great player. And, you know, he played baseball, right? And so, like, and Lou Holtz, like, invited him into his office. And he's like, hey, you know, I'm really proud of you. Like, you're a 2-sport athlete. And, you know, it's like, and we're going to really need you cheering us on from the sideline, you know, in the fall. Because, you know, hey, I don't want to stop you from playing baseball, but you're not going to start if you're not at practice. And so Lou Holtz basically said, hey, if you want to play baseball, you can, and you'll even stay on the team, but you're not going to play. So I feel like, what are we talking about here? You know, this is Notre Dame football. Dude should be all in, and I think he's really making a big mistake by not being full participation.
That's interesting. So. Yeah, it's interesting. Andrew, thank you for the call on a Friday. And then I don't know what you got tonight, but we're going to go live tonight and see what happens then too. Who knows?
Awesome, man. Well, I'll be I'm taking a half day because I'm watching my San Diego State Aztecs.
There you go. About
2 hours here. So
excellent. Well, awesome, enjoy the basketball. Thanks for the call, man. We'll see you.
Awesome.
Take care. Oh, man. Absher and Wagner are the backups. Yeah. No offense, but I do not want my backup, meaning Wagner, to be 285 pounds. That's not a tackle. He lost a lot of weight. It's not good. He ain't even 290 pounds, bro. That ain't Notre Dame tackle material under 300. That's a problem. He's got to get bigger. Literally, just eat. Look at this. John doesn't have to actually see Minchie play before declaring him a physical freak. Again, you're twisting my words, which I choose carefully. What I said about Minchie is the staff believes he has a higher physical ceiling than Angeli. That's what I said. Physical freak? That's Deuce. Deuce, I'm saying, is a physical freak. Totally not polished as a quarterback, but a physical freak. What do you know? Here we go again. I heard Deuce Knight has a 40-inch vertical. He's definitely a championship caliber quarterback. It's settled again. Don't make things up. He is a physical freak, the kind we do not get in Notre Dame at all. But he's very, very raw. Where does that fall when you balance those things? I don't know. He is the type of physical athlete Notre Dame does not get. Pure SEC talent, not ACC. Pure SEC type talent and body and skill set and athletic gifts. And he wants to be at Notre Dame. Raw as hell. Raw as hell. I'm not telling you he's coming in polished. I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you he's the type of physical athlete Notre Dame never gets. That's what I'm telling you. Where those realities are going to lie on all of that, fine. If you want to tell me, you know, I have anxiety about Deuce because he's not a polished guy, blah, blah, fine. I'm just telling you he's the type of physical athlete Notre Dame does not get. And you got to explore that. Wagner said on his presser, he's over 290. All right, you're only 40 pounds less than what I need my tackle to be. Like, bro, this is not Notre Dame level. You need to be well over 300 pounds and maintain it to be a Notre Dame tackle. I'm sorry. Like, that's just I can't be having a discussion at O-line U about a guy that can't keep weight on. Two 290s, not in my ballpark. Even though it's three of me, it's not what I need. Notre Dame's tackles cannot be under 300 pounds. Get serious. Charlie was. Every time I see this name, I just laugh. How can you not laugh? Charlie Weiss's last belt loop, man. Hanging on for dear life. Hope all is well. Are you disappointed in wide receiver recruiting in 25 so far? Especially having Deuce as your quarterback? Seems like ND did a mediocre job. Yeah, I am. If you don't get Meadows, it's bad. Can we be honest about that? If we don't get Meadows, it's bad. Not impressed. I thought Stuckey was awful at this and the new guy was going to get it all going and now it's a three-star machine. Can we, like, I got to get out of here. I got stuff to do. We could bring this up tonight. Callers, I got to get going here. I'm already buying schedule, but that's okay. Can we talk about that? I'm sorry. I'm just telling you, like, there's some three-star wide receiver stuff going on. And so, yeah, I get it. If you don't get Meadows, it's kind of rough. But yeah, it's a little bit of an issue. I agree with you. I need a little more out of that. Like, where's your Cam Williams in this class? So I don't know. It's I need to see a little more out of that. There's a lot of like potential and projects and last names people recognize, but that doesn't mean the kid's good. Are you following my drift with those wide receivers? You might have a last name that people like, but I'm not sure you're good at football. But your dad was. Makes me a little nervous. That is an area I need to see, and that is an area I need to see improve. So, whatever. I don't know. All right, guys. I got stuff I got to do. I got to pack. I got to write an article. I have something else. Robert Ainsy was 285. John wrong again. Not surprising. Blyberg, you have all the answers. Start your own show. Start your own show. You think you could do it better than me? You think you are more accurate? You never make a mistake. Everything you say is perfect. Start your own channel and everybody will judge you every day of your life. How about we do that? Instead of just sitting here, eating your nachos, stuffing your face in mom's basement, responding that John's dumb, start your own show and we'll all judge you and we'll see if you remember every detail perfect from Notre Dame football. How about we do that? Literally, you start your own channel and we'll all fact check you going live 20 hours a week and we'll fact check you and make sure that you don't misquote a number. We'll do that since you're Mr. Perfect. I'm out of here and against my better judgment, we'll go live tonight, but some of this is annoying me. So whatever, I'm over it. We'll talk to you guys tonight. Cheesy Pete's. I don't even know if I'm looking forward to it the way this is going to go. Very contentious. People don't want to accept a lot of realities. Whatever. All right. Thanks for the donations, the calls, and the chats. We'll see you tonight. Sorry, John, you're wrong on this one. Fine. He might be 285. I want 310, 320, 330. There. How about that? He might have played it that way. That doesn't mean it's what I want. That's not what Alabama and Georgia run out there. So fine, he might have been under 300 and played. I don't want it. How about that? Does that answer your question? I don't want it. It's not good enough here. How about that? Give me bookends that are big boys, not under 300. Nobody winning championships does that. See you tonight.